America in the mid-1990s is declining as rapidly as Germany in the mid-1930s, or Rome as it was approaching its terminal stages. Morally, culturally, spiritually, politically, and financially, America is now plunging down the slippery slope to collapse. And as with most countries in decline, the great majority of Americans do not recognize the decline and would argue vehemently that America is as great as ever. Edward Gibbon, the great British historian, wrote between 1776 and 1788, in his classic six-volume History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, about the five primary causes for the collapse and destruction of Roman society. Number one, the rapid increase in divorce and the undermining of the sanctity of the home. Number two, the spiraling rise of taxes and extravagant spending. Number three, the mounting craze of pleasure and the brutalization of sports. Number four, the building of gigantic armaments and the failure to realize that the real enemy lay within the gates of the empire in the moral decay of the people. And number five, the decay of religion and the fading of faith into a mere humanistic form, leaving the people without a guide. All of these and much more of Gibbon's great work, as well as much of William Shirer's epic history of the rise and fall of the Third Reich, describe America today in the mid-1990s. We are in moral collapse, with homosexuals and sexual degenerates now running our government, our entertainment industry, and much of our public education system, with free, uninhibited sex outside of marriage now being officially promoted, down to kindergarten, and with the largest pornography industry in the world producing, promoting, and distributing pornographic film, filth on a global basis. Hatton's comment. Note that the author is able to pronounce all of these allegations and general accusations on a group without even mentioning the group in point. Why then is the ADL after him for anti-Semitism? Do you not find this interesting? So, who owns the media, the press, the government, the banks, and big business? How is it that the major lobby in Washington and the major PACs are from the same resource, as well as almost all advisors to the administration, and comprise of almost all of Congress, and compromise of almost all of Congress is from the same group, and yet ones must not mention the label? That the family has disintegrated in America is a gross understatement. Over half of all marriages in America, including Christian marriages, now end in divorce, with over half of American children now being raised by a single parent in a home with a step-parent or by the state. Over 25% of American children are now born out of wedlock into a single mother family. Teenage crime, rebellion, gang warfare, pregnancy and suicide is the highest in the world in America, as is domestic violence and physical and sexual abuse against children and wives. Over 25 years of poisonous women's liberation philosophy directed at two generations of American women is now bearing its ugly fruit as record numbers of American wives are leaving their husbands, children, and families in the mid-90s to find themselves or do their own thing. And record numbers of American women are remaining single or are turning to lesbianism for fulfillment. Again, like Rome, America is the most highly taxed major country in the world today, with 50 to 60% of the income of her most productive class now going to income redistribution and to pay for the socialist welfare state. Half a century of explosive economic growth, extravagant materialism, overindulgence, and prosperity since the end of World War II has now given way to gross over-indebtedness, record personal and business bankruptcies, and a declining real standard of living for most Americans. As in Rome, Americans now worship the god of entertainment, pleasure, and distraction, whether it is sports, participatory or spectator, travel, television, movies, videos, recreational drugs or sex, etc., diversions that preoccupy almost all Americans' non-working leisure time, leaving little time for reading, thinking, reflecting, or observing what is happening to our people, our country, our culture, our families, or ourselves. Anger, brutality, and distraction characterized the Roman circuses of ancient Rome and other diversions designed by wicked leaders to keep the masses' minds off the realities of a declining, decadent empire. And the same can be said today of our spectator sports and of television in America. Today, as in ancient Rome or the Germany of the mid-30s, the socialists have captured the U.S. government and are systematically destroying virtually all of the freedoms, traditions, and morality of an American people who have forgotten their history, their heritage, and their greatness, and whom can no longer even tell the difference between right and wrong or good and evil. As in Rome and Nazi Germany, the American people are becoming slaves and don't even know it. Their freedoms are being taken from them. They can't even remember what those freedoms were. 30 million babies can be mutilated and killed in their mother's wombs, and most Americans can no longer even discern that that is wrong, that that is murder. A man who is an open womanizer, adulterer, drug user, draft dodger, and wartime collaborator with America's most deadly enemy can run for president and be elected by an electorate who know his background but don't really object to it and don't believe that it will affect his ability to govern and improve their own economic condition, which is their primary concern. And as in Rome and the Germany of the 1930s, America has gone into a spiritual and moral freefall, leaving the people without an anchor or a compass. America's mainline religious denominations are as immoral, socialist, and devoid of spiritual content and truth as their counterpart state-sanctioned churches in Nazi Germany and the old Soviet Empire. From a social gospel and liberal theology devoid of almost any redeeming spiritual content, to the morality of the day, to homosexuals in the clergy, to most of the tenets of socialism, collectivism, and big government control of the people, America's mainline religions have gone along with or even been in the forefront of the decline. And America's evangelical churches have watered down their message and content over the past 30 years as to be only a shadow of their former selves, offering little or no resistance to America's decline. And as America has gone into spiritual decline and substituted the secular humanist gods of man, materialism, pleasure, high technology, etc., for the God of the Bible, His Son Jesus Christ, and His biblical blueprint for successful living, America has gone into a moral freefall, exploding violence, crime, divorce, massive drug consumption, promiscuity, pornography, baby killing, teenage rebellion, gang warfare, homosexuality, etc., are the result. And loss of Americans' freedom is also the result. As Antonin Gramsci, founder of the Italian Communist Party, said, "If you want to take down a capitalist country and convert it to communism, first undermine its morality, its culture, and its spirituality, and the subsequent transition to communism and slavery will be a short and easy one." This issue of McIlvaney, intelligence advisor, will examine the global plunge toward world government, targeted for the end of the decade, and the efforts of a socialist government, Big Brother and Big Sister, to control the American people via electronic surveillance, a national ID card, a national police force, a financial dictatorship, growing police state tactics, the confiscation of private property and wealth, gun control, socialized medicine, and much more. It will analyze how Big Brother and Sister are educating or programming, i.e. brainwashing, Americans for socialism in the New World Order, how the persecution of Christians, conservatives, and traditionalists by the socialist change agents now in control of America is approaching, and how the judgment of the righteous God, who, according to the Bible, takes a very dim view of baby killing, homosexuality, promiscuity, pornography, rampant divorce, immorality, and rebellion to his laws could be descending upon America in the 1990s. An editor's note. You are encouraged to copy and distribute as widely as possible. Hatton's takes over here. I would like to discuss a few very current topics, and let's look at them as they are, not as they seem to be. Taxes. 2 days ago, tax day was upon you. I am not going to discuss taxes, as you may well be expecting, for I do not advocate further disobedience to laws. Once you have filed your return, citizens, I believe you have signed your own contract, and you will be held responsible if you hedge any bets. As to unlawful cause to file those returns, yes, it is unlawful to force you to file such voluntary papers. However, you now function under executive orders and not constitutional law, so whether or not the cause will stand up in court is doubtful, since indeed the courts are more corrupt than the IRS, private police and collection agency for the bankers. What I would like to point out is not so much taxation, but just what has really happened to you. As the big day came, there were many reporters and mailbox watchers who had all sorts of information which you must consider. Several respected mouths counted your taxes for you. One particular lady accountant pointed out that out of every dollar you get, all but 33 cents go to taxes one way or another. Another ended up with less than 12 cents for your own spending. Now what do you have going on? Sin taxes. Ah, they say we will overtax those awful sinful people and place big sin taxes, and do so. Also, it is proclaimed that tobacco will really be taxed heavily and pay for health costs because, after all, it is so damaging to the health. But what are you going through right now? Indeed, an all-out effort to make smoking illegal. That means a loss of revenue to the government of incredible sums of tax money. So, are you not concerned as to just what in the hell those idiots are doing? Next comes booze. There is an opening attack on advertising for liquor. Please, readers, I am totally against both items. And what about income for the government? Who is going to make up the faster-growing deficits and pay the bills of your nation? No, not you, citizens, for a large portion of you are already on welfare, food stamps, and other payments which come directly from forms of taxation. Jobs are now a premium, and few can depend on having one. As payments from resources available stop being available, what are you going to do? I point this out not to ruin your day, but to encourage you to look at the opposing damage from your pressure to do good. Will regulations stop smoking? No. So there will be revenue acquired by lawbreakers, but it will not be sizable enough to offset the cost to you as citizens for illegalizing the product. It certainly will not hurt the tobacco companies, only the tobacco users and growers. Note, in addition, that legalization of now illegal drugs keeps popping up even as delegalization of tobacco is brought forth. What kind of games do you suppose are being played on you now? Shot down by friendly fire. I don't want to comment on what is going on in the areas where the atrocities are being committed today. I don't have time or space to cover them all. I do find it interesting that as of yet no official list of dead is available. The government tells you that they have trouble identifying the bodies because of any number of excuses, and no one even questions. For goodness sakes, those were military planes with known crews and every passenger is well known. What are they really hiding? You had better pay attention because, friends, you are at war. Believe me, you are at war. And not just in Kurdsville. Where is that new money? Being passed out. Delivered to the states. As it has to be distributed from the Texas Mint and the European presses and from the stashes in Fort Knox, where there once was gold to back your currency. Now it is really squeezing the distributors, for they are also having to make room for restoration of incoming gold through the same conduit it left your nation, through the Navy. Don't think the delays are the denial for doing these things. These are big projects, and it is damned hard to do it all through deception and in secret. Give Kissinger and crew a break. They are paddling as hard as they can to set up billion-dollar industries in China. And to change over the world currency. How much can one man do to supervise all this transition into a new world order? He isn't even the big boy, so he about has his hands full bringing full-blown war to South Africa and the Middle East, the Koreas, and to keep China just making money for him. Any of you thought you were busy? New currency has been staged into a lot of states as trial runs, as the need for substitution to keep down counterfeiting is stressed. Well, that is a problem because the desire is to have a lot of Federal Reserve notes to trade in prior to changeover. It is a good game. It is too bad they don't let you in on it. All of you who had thought you would wait will be quite sorry you did not avail yourselves of our program as offered. Gold has to move up, friends, on a basis for the economy to be reestablished. Even Mr. Green is starting his own version of this program, which he is still trying to place in receivership here. He announced it to hundreds at the last global science meeting in Virginia. Does that mean that Eckers, after all, will get rich and famous? No, they hold no claim to any funds then or now. They do, however, hope that one day they can live in security of some kind from the hounds of hell. It will not be through any of the Institute's assets. It would be nice, however, if some return from years of labor could be realized by the ones who have given everything they own and are to this work in progress. They have, however, had to live the instructions so that they can know of the truth we offer. We are the wayshowers, and the way is often obscured by the assaults of the greedmongers, thieves, and liars. They shall reap their own rewards in the spiral of sequence. We must close this at this time for a meeting today. We will discuss some of these items in point. Thank you.
Thank you, E.J. I have to apologize because we don't get our writing done before these meetings in time for him to even read it. And therefore, there's no editing capability. So he's stuck with it. Is there something from Cali that we could share?
Yes, there is.
Please, let's do that. In the midst of overproduction of quantity of paper, etc., and some other little problems and things that do arise, we haven't shared nearly enough lately from Commander Soltec because of many things, but attention to these various hot spots is not the least of his job. So I would appreciate, let's just take the time and share whatever Ed might have for us.
Okay, we have a writing that occurred on Tuesday in the evening, and part of this has to do with the volcano of Krakatoa.
Let's do that one, please.
Yes, but
it's important.
The very next evening, some of you may have caught it. Princeton alerted me from a brief news flash, and I heard it nowhere. It was completely suppressed, but within 24 hours of Soltec writing on Krakatoa, there was at least a 6.5 earthquake in that same general vicinity of the Krakatoa volcano. So, and this is near where Commander's talking about the Crystal City coming up, too.
There it's still erupting, by the way.
Yes, yes. Good evening, Tonio Soltec, present in the radiant light of Holy God of Creation. There is a very serious subject which we shall take up and address at this time, and that subject is volcanoes, specifically one known on your place as Krakatoa. This volcano has been showing signs of activity with a few small eruptions in the last few days. It is therefore necessary that I take the time to address this situation so that you shall be informed. Otherwise, you will know little to nothing of it, for, as usual, the media is far too busy playing games of politics and being the dutiful little puppets of your governments. Krakatoa was once an island that was situated approximately halfway between Sumatra and Java in the Sunda Strait, which is located in the general South Pacific region of Malaysia. Notice that I said once. It no longer exists because in 1883, one of your world's largest volcanic eruptions occurred, which literally destroyed the island. In its place was left a water-covered basin 1,000 feet deep. The island was formed originally from nested volcanic cones in an ancient caldera 6 kilometers across and was the remnant of a prehistoric andesite stratovolcano. On August 27, 1883, following several smaller eruptions, Krakatoa literally blew its top in an explosion with the equivalent of about 100 megatons of TNT. The explosion was of such magnitude that it was heard in Australia nearly 2,000 kilometers away. Atmospheric pressure waves were recorded on weather barographs on the opposite side of the Earth. Nearly 20 cubic kilometers, that is 5 cubic miles of debris, was discharged into the air, much of it falling as ash over an area of some 300,000 square miles. It became almost totally dark in Jakarta, some 100 miles away, when the volcanic dust blotted out the sun. Fine dust rose into the stratosphere and drifted around the Earth, producing brilliant red sunsets for several years and lowering the planet's mean annual temperature a few degrees by partially blocking solar radiation. Another phenomenon resulted from the eruption. A tsunami that reached a height of nearly 40 meters, or 130 feet. Approximately 36,000 people drowned in nearby coastal towns, and the sea waves were recorded on tide gauges as far away as the English Channel. After the eruption, most of Krakatoa was no longer to be found. A renewed cycle of activity began in this place beginning in 1927, and a new island has been forming ever since, known as Anak Krakatoa, or Child of Krakatoa. Repeated eruptions of this still active volcano have created this new island, which has reached a height of more than 300 feet. So, though many have believed that this giant is no longer a threat to humankind, I would beg to greatly differ with them. You ones are fully aware of the cycle of activity, both seismic and volcanic, that is occurring in the Pacific Ocean region, all around that famous ring of fire. Well, dear ones, where do you think little Anak Krakatoa sits? Bingo, right smack dab on the ring of fire's southwest edge. There has been what you ones would refer to as strange things occurring all up and down the coast of the Americas, from abnormally high tides, such as at Seal Beach near Los Angeles last week, to the coastal lands rising in the Pacific Northwest, as your media finally had to tell you about recently with some degree of fanfare. You have had from small to severe earthquakes all around the circumference of this ring of fire, and yet you still want to believe that nothing out of the normal is occurring. When will you little sleepy heads awaken and get it through your heads that this entire area is as unstable as has ever been in your recent history? Yet what do? Most of you are going right back to where your houses collapsed and are rebuilding, only to repeat the process of upheaval and destruction again and again and again, or until it finally takes your lives. Remember that everything that occurs along this Pacific Ring of Fire is interrelated to everything else, and nothing should be ignored. For just because you may live on the western coast of North America, it does not mean that volcanic or seismic activity on the opposite side of the Pacific Ocean will produce no effect in your location. This planet is in the throes of a cycle of massive change, and man's tamperings have not helped the matter any. Recent earthquake activity has been scattered across much of the planet, with heavy activity in Japan, California, Alaska, and still along the Idaho-Wyoming border areas. California and Japan are two places to watch with much caution, for these two are linked together far more than you can know. When you see heavy activity in Japan, look to California for follow-on activity and vice versa. You ones who live in California are not getting the full picture, for there are many, many earthquakes occurring on a daily basis. The magnitudes are not declining much either. In fact, they go up and down like bouncing on a pogo stick. And congratulations, you had yet another aftershock from the 1992 Landers Big Bear earthquake just last week. And he has in parentheses, yes, and I have a bridge for sale.
Same bridge.
This little planet is sending you warning after warning after warning, and yet you heed it not. There are a few who have taken the warning seriously and have left the areas of greatest danger. Yet these are but a handful, for many more have chosen to remain, most of them totally unprepared and unwilling to consider the inevitable. For those who have chosen to take the lead to safer ground, we salute you, for you are at least somewhat awakened. You shall end up being those to whom the others will look to lean on in the days that are ahead for you in the very near future. It is much easier and preferable to get your houses in order prior to the emergency, for afterwards there will be nothing save to bury the dead and care for the sick and injured. And, dear ones, there will be scores upon scores in those categories, more than any of you might even consider imaginable. For you whose lives are being uprooted now and rearranged in every aspect, thank God and follow your inner promptings. For you are those who are listening and doing. Too many are still only talking when it is time for the doing. Talk will not get you to safe ground and see you through the upheavals that are just around the corner. Let us wrap this one up and get it into the works. We honor you who continue on in your dedicated journeys and who continue to serve relentlessly. You have done and are doing fine work. Do not drop the ball now, for the truly difficult times are yet to come, and there are many who will look to you ones in those days ahead. Tonios de Clear, Salud.
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate Kelly. I appreciate Tony for sharing. You have another message, a more recent one, about your own place.
Pardon me?
I knew you weren't listening. Let's hear what Soltec told Callie about your land bridges.
Yes, let me get out of the range of the speaker. In a private message to Kelly a few evenings ago, Tonios was explaining that the area where where Highway 40 and Highway 10 and whatever's down at the bottom of the state between California and Arizona, that corridor in through there, Tonios called a land bridge between the two areas. And he said that area was rapidly weakening. Think of where the Colorado River flows down there between the two states. He called it a land bridge, and he said it was rapidly weakening, and that they possibly could hold it for another month or so. But that would then have great implications in terms of shifting of the land. you'd have to picture, I'd have to have a map in front of me here to show you the picture. Think of where Baja California hits San Diego, and the Salton Sea goes inland there, and that's all below water now. And of course, it's been belching sulfur dioxide and other fumes for several years now. And if that, if the Pacific Plate hits that area and starts that crumbling or moving down anymore, the piece between the Salton Sea and that part of California over to Arizona going east will probably go down again some more, and you'll have quite a shifting and a mess in that area. Now, I'm extrapolating from a very, very brief message that Soltec gave Cali. Is that correct, Commander?
That's generally correct, with one exception. When we speak of holding it, it isn't really that command or any extraterrestrial forces are literally holding that as we once did the fault lines. We were once allowed to do that. It's been years now that we have not been allowed to literally stabilize. We are, however, still able to counter things that are thrust upon some of those masses or fissures. So when you hear, we don't know if we can hold it more than another 30 days, another month. You know, we're speaking casually now as a conversation. And our meaning is not specific as someone taking that and scientifically trying to analyze what he just said. Oh, that must mean that command is still holding something. And it isn't quite like that, and I'd like to clarify it because it may just give the wrong impression. We do counter when there are laser strikes, sound strikes, light strikes against some of these areas to break them loose. We very frequently can intervene in those pulses and do so. If the breaking of those particular land masses are going to go ahead and trigger some major, major affront to the West Coast or to anywhere we're working, this could be a Krakatoa type of situation, whereas they are pounding Krakatoa. You see, this is an effort to blow up Krakatoa from within, deep, deep into the earth, underneath the sea. And when you have that kind of man-made, man-structured attack on a given spot on the earth, you cannot just have it explode. And what you're not seeing is a massive, massive undersea explosion of something the magnitude of Krakatoa or deep, deep Pinatubo can take out the whole string of what were once island formations. And this is massive enough to go ahead and push your plate drastically around. And when that happens, you're going to get some of these areas that are called your land bridges. Well, you might go down there and say, well, there's land there. What do you mean bridge? There's no ocean there. But I'm telling you, once there was, you see. So very frequently when our geologists speak of something on your place, they may very well use the terminology of what is actually there and not what you see. So some of these messages, by and large, are far more important than a lesson on Krakatoa. But I will put this in for Tonio's. Somewhere back in the journals, and we just have not had time to get on with your geophysical lessons, but there is a very good geophysical lesson in a series that Tonios did with Dorma in the journals. And it would behoove you, as each of these things come to bear on you as a society, and you will note that these activities are increasing magnificently, you will be very wise to study your lessons so that you know what is apt to happen from some of these things. If you don't know what a caldera is, you see, you're not going to know the magnitude of what was just spoken. And Soltec put it very simplistically, as in a beginner's geophysics lesson. And you can learn about a lot of these things. The one thing that he needs desperately to cover for you ones is atmospheric pressures and happenings. You see, you're experiencing tremendous tornado activity. Tornadoes and offshore hurricanes are the easiest thing that can be man-made and man-manipulated. These are from airflow, and they can be very easily wound up, dispersed, moved. And yet, if you don't know how they begin and what kind of air motion and turbulence you need to have, you're not going to be able to tell where they're going to hit down. You can get all the information from your weather reporters that you want, and they can study the patterns of things that happen. But in a man-made tornado, those can be pinpointed just as easily as we can pinpoint a laser. So we do need to get on with that. There's another little thing that you wouldn't know, and that's calling it an elk. Krakatoa, baby Krakatoa. You will find that term, it may be spelled differently, it means new. In other words, a new life form, a new island, a new. And you will find those Indians, if you will, those Aboriginal people up in the north, also called Anuk, the new people. It often comes back to me, and this week it came back to EJ from Florida, you know. One of our friends had come upon the Talmud Emmanuel, J-M-M-A-N-U-E-L. That is a term for Emmanuel, with an I or an E, or your Christos, Isu, Jesus, whatever you want to call him. That Christed being was called Emmanuel, with a silent J, in Pleiades. And that's who has the original scripts that were translated for these books. And they called his name Emmanuel, and also Talmud Emmanuel. And he was really curious, you know, please explain to me, EJ, about the three races. And there is mention there of salvaging or saving the white race. And there is Semyasi and Semyasa, the father, grandfather, etc., running up through. And then there's a whole series of new names that don't show in your Bible. Well, that's simply language discrepancy. They're the same people. Well, but what about these three races? Well, I'm not going to get into that more than has been presented to you, because I'm not ready to take on another biblical attack or have whatever definitions we give you taken out of context, and you go out and your people hear this, and that's all that Jerry Falwell hears, and that's all he needs to, you know, call you an anti-Semite and everything else. Well, why would Jerry Falwell call you an anti-Semite? Because Jerry Falwell proclaims himself to be a Zionist with his hand up, proud of it. and all of you missed it. They're all waiting to get back into Jerusalem in the new Jewish temple. And if you're missing it, my friends, you better look at what the fundamentalist Pentecostal preachers are telling you. Now, if you have a temple of the Jewish faith and a Muslim mosque on the same hilltop, it's really awkward, isn't it? So the coming of the end of the age, this is it. Listen carefully. The coming of the end of the age will rest on several things. These fundamentalists will tell you, and I do not leave Billy Graham out of this, and I respect him. He believes in angels. That's enough for me. Does he believe in ETs, only in that angels are extraterrestrial? He also has been an advisor to every president. That makes him a part of the New World Order. And he will tell you that America, and this is the truth, this is the truth, is not a Christian nation. It never was. It never was. But it was supposedly birthed under God, one nation. It is a secular nation made up of a diversity of faiths, creeds, colors, a melting pot. But basically, your constitution, even though you had some liars writing your constitution, most of them were Freemasons under the rules of Freemasonry, and they all held slaves. Well, that was hardly fair to those nice black people. So when we go all the way around now, and we go back to the Talmud Emmanuel, and it says in there to save the white race, a lot of black people could really get incensed. But I have something that is bad news for the diversity of mankind. Not that God or creator or creation is selective, but that you do come from various races to this place. It doesn't mean that anyone cannot come within the fold of what you would call God. It does mean that you're going to have some who are totally anti-God creator. And they are the Antichrist. Because Christ is not a person, Christ is a state of being.